Five things to know this morning. 1. Iran-US whiplash. Sunday, Iran's Revolutionary Guard hit US bases in Kuwait and Bahrain. Monday, Trump's Truth Social post. Iran has requested a meeting. It will take place tomorrow in Doha. All caps. The meeting sits today. US-Iran pause holds. Strait of Hormuz reopened. 2. London, Monday. Andy Burnham delivered his first major policy speech since announcing the UK Labour leadership bid. Manchester, People's History Museum. Westminster, he said, is broken. A number 10 in the north. The biggest council house programme since the post-war period. 3. On the Hill. Day 18 of the FISA Section 702 lapse. No procedural breakthrough since Friday's widened blocks. No visible path. 4. Supreme Court. Trump v. Barbara, the birthright citizenship case, still pending. Today's 10 a.m. Eastern opinion list and Tuesday's are the last realistic delivery windows. Father. Army Europe and Africa. Thursday, General Christopher Donoghue relinquishes command. The last C-17 out of Kabul general. Major General Christopher Norrie assumes duties. And the command itself downgrades from 4-star to 3-star, part of Secretary Hegseth's senior ranks overhaul. I'm Pip. Today is Tuesday, June 30th, 2026. 5 sections. The Doha pivot, Burnham's Westminster, the FISA standoff, the SCOTUS final week, and General Donoghue's Thursday transition. Then a short closer on what we're watching into Wednesday. Here we go. The pivot. Sunday morning. Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps hit Ali Al Salam Air Base in Kuwait and the US 5th Naval Fleet at Port Salman in Bahrain. Trump on Truth Social Sunday. There may come a point when we are no longer able to be reasonable. If that happens, the Islamic Republic of Iran will no longer exist. By Sunday evening, Iran was threatening, direct quote per CBS reporting, a complete halt to talks. Then Monday. Broadcast lead from a US network anchor for the texture of where the news cycle was when the pivot landed.
We're learning that the US and Iran have agreed to stop these strikes after weekend trading new attacks.
Pause confirmed. The strike stopped. The Strait of Hormuz reopened to commercial shipping. Oil prices fell back below the pre-war floor. That's the operational reset.
And then the diplomatic move. Trump's Monday Truth Social post, Pip, the verbatim.
Direct quote, Truth Social, Monday. Iran has requested a meeting. It will take place tomorrow in Doha, all caps. 3 sentences of pause and meet that arrive less than 36 hours after Trump posted that the Islamic Republic of Iran might no longer exist. Secretary of State Marco Rubio and the President's Special Envoy for Peace Missions, Steve Witkoff, briefed Congress on Monday on an initial peace deal. That meeting today in Doha.
Iran requested it. That's the line Trump's emphasising. That's the political theatre piece. The President of Iran asked for the meeting. The President of the United States granted it. Now, whether that's how it actually happened operationally is a different question. Pakistan's foreign ministry has been quietly trying to schedule the Bergenstock technical working groups all week. Trump's framing makes Iran the supplicant. Iran's framing, when it comes, will not.
Heap. The framing matters less than what the meeting produces. Doha is happening today. The deal is either operationalized in the next 90 minutes or it isn't. That's the question.
Bash agreed. And the deal architecture from Versailles is still intact on paper. Iran kept their MOU signature through Saturday's strikes, through Sunday's retaliation, through Sunday's complete halt threat. They didn't withdraw. The deal survived the worst 48 hours since it was signed. The question for Doha is whether the technical working groups produce a written inspection schedule or whether theatre.
And Trump's other Monday post, the one not getting headlines, he welcomed the decline in oil and gas prices. noting US crude is back to pre-Iran war levels. The president is reading market pricing as the validation of his foreign policy. That's the metric he's working from. Brent below the floor, the deal holds. Brent spikes again, the deal doesn't.
Heap, that's right. And the market validation is real, if narrow. A president whose decision-making is anchored to oil prices is a president whose foreign policy has a price level. That's a known input to the Iranian negotiating team.
Which means Iran's leverage in Doha includes the question of how much they can hurt oil prices if they walk. That's the negotiating dynamic now, not military escalation, market disruption.
The watch. Whether Doha produces a written technical inspection schedule with IAEA buy-in by end of day. That's the test of whether the pause is a deal or a pause. The IAEA's Grossi has been publicly de-escalating throughout. Whether he announces a Tehran trip this week is the next operational signal. London. Andy Burnham, Monday afternoon at the People's History Museum in Manchester. His first major policy speech since announcing the UK Labour leadership bid. 200 plus Labour MPs publicly behind him, Wes Streeting endorsing rather than contesting, the nominations window opening July 9th. The line that landed.
Westminster hasn't been working for people, and it hasn't been working for a very long time. In fact, it is broken.
Three pieces matter in that speech beyond the headline line. One, number 10 in the north. Burnham proposes an extended operation of the Prime Minister's office based in Manchester. Two, the biggest council house building programme since the post-war period. That's a Clement Attlee scale of housing ambition, framed as the answer to working class aspiration that Labour has not delivered under Starmer. Three, sweeping devolution across the country, not just to the north.
Stack, what's distinctive is the geographic claim. Burnham is saying Westminster, the institution, the building, the political class clustered around it, is the problem. And the answer is to physically move power. That's not rhetorical decentralization. That's a hard pivot against the political center.
Bash, careful with that framing. Burnham hasn't called for dismantling Westminster. He's called for an additional operation in Manchester. That's a continuity claim wrapped in a reform pose. The risk is overselling.
And Burnham's been positioning for this for the better part of a decade. Greater Manchester Mayor since 2017, his Andy Burnham can do it better narrative was running parallel to Starmer's entire premiership. Streeting endorsing instead of contesting is the move that matters. Streeting was Burnham's most plausible rival. Streeting stepped aside. That's how coronations get made.
Heap and the timing. 18 days after Trump bombed Iran from Truth Social posts, 11 days after a Labour PM resigned over electoral collapse. Burnham's framing of the UK premiership is being articulated in a window when the Atlantic Alliance is being tested by an American president whose foreign policy runs on a phone. Burnham's worldview on that test will define his first 6 months.
And he hasn't given it yet. His foreign policy posture, his position on continued storm shadow supply to Ukraine, his AI safety alignment with Brussels rather than Washington, his China framework, all unsettled. The Westminster speech was domestic. The next major speech, that's the one that signals where the UK fits in the post-Iran war Atlantic.
Watch Burnham's foreign policy speech in the next 2 weeks. That's the one that matters for the US-UK relationship. And watch Trump's first Truth Social mention of Burnham. Trump's posture sets the diplomatic temperature before the relationship begins.
The watch. Burnham's first major foreign policy address before nominations close July 16th and Trump's first Truth Social mention of the UK Labour leadership. Capitol Hill. Day 18 of the FISA Section 702 lapse. No procedural breakthrough since Friday's Wyden blocks. The state of play. Cotton's three demand stack from Trump cracked on Wednesday, June 24th. Wyden's reform or nothing floor blocked both Cotton's July 2nd extension and Thune's 1 week extension on Friday. No new offer this weekend. The intelligence community continues to run on emergency authorities certified by the FISC in March 2026. Those certifications carry the surveillance machinery until roughly March 2027, but new collection beyond what's already certified is increasingly constrained.
So the IC isn't going dark. Yet. But every day the lapse continues, the menu of options for new collection narrows. And the Iran situation we just walked through is exactly the kind of operational moment where you'd want maximum IC flexibility. That's the cost of the stalemate.
Bash. Right. And the path forward requires either Wyden getting his reforms or Trump withdrawing his SAVE Act conditioning. Neither has moved. Cotton's stuck between the two of them, with no procedural lever left.
And the Intelligence Committee chair was the one who got the Clayton hearing pulled by Trump's 3:54 a.m. post 17 days ago. That's the same Tom Cotton, trying now to thread an extension through. He doesn't have leverage with either side. Trump views him as a loyalist with no independent base. Wyden views him as a procedural opponent with no reform commitment. He's negotiating from zero.
And the people most affected by the lapse don't have a voice in the negotiation. The career intel professionals running collection, the agencies depending on 702 data for terrorist finance work, the foreign liaison services watching the architecture wobble, none of them get a vote.
That's built into how surveillance authorities work in this system. The people surveilled have the warrant requirement. The people doing the surveilling have the political process. Neither party has been able to make a deal that the other can accept.
The watch. Any Cotton-Wyden direct negotiation, any Trump statement softening the SAVE Act linkage, any Senate floor activity this week. The Supreme Court. Trump v. Barbara. The birthright citizenship case challenging Executive Order 14160 did not land Friday. Did not land Monday. 11 other decisions remain due before summer recess at the end of this week. Today's 10 a.m. Eastern opinion list is one of the last realistic delivery windows for Barbara. If Barbara doesn't land Tuesday or Wednesday, it slips to September or October. The operational stakes. 16 months of executive order enforcement in non-sanctuary states, hospital administrators denying birth certificate registrations, state agencies interpreting domicile inconsistently. Children born under the executive order are in legal limbo regardless of the eventual ruling. The question is whether the limbo extends another 3 months or starts resolving today.
And the kids are the kids. Whatever the ruling, 16 months of administrative chaos is its own form of harm. Burnham talked about working class aspiration. The children of immigrants here in non-sanctuary states are being denied basic citizenship documentation while the court takes its time.
Bash granted. The court's delay tells us something specific. Decisions that take this long are decisions where the coalition is hard. Whatever lands today, Tuesday, or in October, it'll be fragmented. 6-3 with a strong dissent, or 5-4 with a controlling concurrence. Not a clean ruling, either direction.
And Trump attended a portion of the Orwell arguments in April, first sitting president on record to do so. That tells you what stakes he's placing on this. If the ruling comes today and goes against him, watch his Truth Social by Tuesday afternoon.
And what he tries to do procedurally, if it does.
The Watch. 10 a.m. Eastern today and 10 a.m. Eastern Tuesday. After that, Barbara slips. 2 days from now, Thursday, July 2nd. General Christopher Donoghue relinquishes command of US Army Europe and Africa and NATO's Allied Land Command. Major General Christopher Norrie, the Deputy Commander, performs the duties of the Commanding General after the transition. Donoghue is the last C-17 out of Kabul general. The night vision Pentagon photograph of him boarding the final transport from Hamid Karzai International Airport in August 2021 became the defining image of the US withdrawal. He took US Army Europe and Africa Command in December 2024, 18 months in the seat. What changes at Thursday's transition matters as much as who's leaving. The command itself downgrades from 4-star to 3-star. Part of Secretary Hegseth's senior ranks overhaul, the broader Pentagon push to shrink the number of generals across the force. The Army has not publicly explained the abrupt timing of Donoghue's departure.
The Hegseth senior ranks overhaul is the architectural context. Hegseth has been reducing the number of 4-star slots across the services since February. The Donoghue departure is the European theatre taking its turn. What it signals, the US Army's posture toward European command and control becomes a 3-star equivalent of the British or French theatre commands. That's a meaningful step toward de-emphasizing the US-led European architecture in favor of multinational distribution.
Stack, and de-emphasizing the US-led European architecture in the moment when Russia just launched 129 drones at Ukraine over the weekend and German Defense Minister Pistorius is publicly attributing Strait of Hormuz access to US action is not de-emphasized without consequence. European allies are watching how much they can rely on the US Army being the keystone of NATO land forces.
And Donoghue's reputation, the night vision photograph aside, is for being the kind of general who shows up when the situation is hardest. 18th Airborne Corps, 82nd Airborne Division, then Kabul. His departure from European command in the middle of an active Russia-Ukraine war, an active US-Iran war, and the Burnham-led UK government in 3 weeks, that's not an exit you stage casually.
No one stages it casually. The Army didn't give a public reason. The CNN reporting frames it as part of a Hegseth review of US support for NATO allies. That's the through line we should be watching.
That's right. And whoever the next 4-star or 3-star Army Europe and Africa commander is, their first public statement will tell us where the Pentagon is headed. Listen for it.
The Watch. Major General Norrie's first public remarks after the Thursday transition and any Pentagon announcement of a permanent 3-star nominee. Package install success. I'm Pip.
I'm Bash. Today's through line. Doha sits today, the meeting Trump announced Monday in all caps, less than 36 hours after he posted that the Islamic Republic of Iran might no longer exist. The pause holds, Hormuz is open, oil prices fell back below the pre-war floor. Whether the technical inspection schedule lands by end of day is a test of whether the deal is operationalized. Andy Burnham's Manchester speech named Westminster broken and proposed a number 10 in the North. The foreign policy address he hasn't given yet is the one that defines the US-UK relationship under his premiership. FISA, day 18. No procedural breakthrough since Friday. The IC's emergency authority backstop is running. SCOTUS, Trump v. Barbara. Today or Tuesday, or it slips to September. General Donoghue relinquishes US Army Europe and Africa Command Thursday. The command downgrades 4-star to 3-star. Hegseth's senior ranks overhaul rolls through the European theater. Closing watches. Doha by end of day. The Mamdani slates NYC City Council positioning. Mythos 5 partner onboarding, while Fable 5 stays offline.
We're at annardudley.com and on the newsletter, Power Moves Before Policy Does. Tomorrow on the Daily, whatever Doha produced overnight, whatever SCOTUS lands at 10 a.m, and whether the Pentagon names a permanent successor to Donoghue before the Thursday transition. Anna's brand is rigor, Sources are cited. We'll see you on the next install.